Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We're back on Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. All right, President Biden was in Chicago today, the Chicago area anyway, landed at O'Hare, met some local officials, then headed to McHenry County where he gave a speech on his America's Families Plan, and Senator Durbin was there as well. Senator, welcome.
Good to be with you, Steve. It was a great visit by the president.
Well, the president wrapped up his speech by saying, I know it was a boring speech, but it was an important speech. So I don't know how boring it was, but tell me about the importance.
Well, I can tell you it wasn't boring at all. If you're a family that's struggling to figure out how you're going to put bread on the table, a good paying job, keep your kids together with the family during the day while you're off at work. I mean, he went down to the basics, the real human side of the equation of infrastructure. And you start talking about affordable daycare. You start talking about extending education for 2 years of pre-K and then 2 more years of community college. I mean, you're really bringing home the issue of economic development to the reality of what families face.
So what we're talking about here, and this is infrastructure too, right? This is not the roads and bridges. This is the one he's hoping that will be more about families, education, things like that.
Exactly. It's human infrastructure, the way the president describes it. It gets down to the things that really count. You know, you can build a wonderful highway connecting your home to a great place of business. Who's going to watch the kids? I mean, it really is a fundamental question that many, many families face, and we want that daycare experience, childcare experience, to be a positive one. That's not too much to ask in the greatest nation on earth.
But even the president said, look, I know this is a really expensive, he says it will be really expensive, which is something I'm sure that opponents will be throwing back at you, Democrats.
Well, let me say two things about that. 4 years ago, when we decided that we could take money out of the Treasury to give tax breaks to the wealthiest people in America, I didn't hear President Trump and his followers saying, well, it is very expensive. You know, the bottom line is investing in families, getting people to work, giving them a learning experience that prepares them for the 21st century is an investment in the most important thing in America, our people, our families, our workers. I think it's money well spent and money well invested.
I don't want to get too much into the politics of it. We'll save that for a little bit later. But so tell me what the plan does. You talked about early education. Even families that don't make enough to get a tax credit then would get, the president said, direct checks, I think, for more than $3,000 for child care. There's that. But there would be an extended paid family leave as well, correct?
Yes, and that reflects the reality of what's going on. You know, you may have the daycare thing figured out. You're going to work, you got the job, and all of a sudden, mom or dad need help, and they need it now, and there's nobody else in the family living nearby, and you need to get home to take care of that aging parent in an emergency situation, maybe for a few days. And the question is, are you going to lose your job over that, or is this something that you can count on will not jeopardize your future? You know what I found, Steve? When people work in an environment where they don't have to worry about losing their job over taking care of their kids and their family, they give you more. They care more. There's more morale at work. And as far as I'm concerned, that just reflects the respectability we ought to give to workers and their families.
And it's kind of related, I think. The less stressed workers feel, the more productive they are. There was just a study out of Iceland where they were experimenting with a 4-day work week, and it improved productivity, it improved morale in the office, and it improved the bottom line. So when you invest in workers that way or take care of them in other ways, there do seem to be benefits.
That's why the discovery during this pandemic, which was a terrible experience for all of us, but the discovery during this pandemic that homework could be just as productive as office work in many instances was kind of a revelation. I mean, people had a sense of comfort at home that led to better work productivity. From the business point of view, it was a plus-plus situation. You didn't have to worry about the desk in the office, and here you had your workers producing even more for you. So listening to workers, getting them on your side, turns out to be good business.
So, but this will have to be passed in reconciliation. Can it be done that way?
It's the only way it can be done. I don't think the Republicans are going to support us. They didn't support the American Rescue Plan, and not a single Republican would vote for it, even though they're all going back home, like Mitch McConnell, talking about all the money that's coming back to his state. He didn't vote for it. They're just taking credit for it, I guess. But when it comes down to reconciliation, what we're counting on is to get every Democrat, all 50 Senate Democrats, plus Kamala Harris to get it done. That's a pretty tall order. 50 individuals have to be on the same page. I think we can reach it.
And who are the two? I mean, you're worried about Joe Manchin, I would imagine?
Well, they always talk about Joe in West Virginia and Kirsten Sinema in Arizona. But, you know, as a whip, I've got to count all the votes. So you never take anybody for granted until you look them in the eye and they tell you credibly, I'm on your side.
All right, so take me in that conversation. Let's pick one. Let's just say Joe Manchin. And you're making the call to him. How does that work?
First things first. Joe, you wanted to start with bipartisan infrastructure. We got it. $900 billion. Republicans and Democrats agree. Now, the rest of us, we aren't going to have the Republicans. We have to decide whether this is important on our own set of values. And I think Joe's going to listen to that. He comes from a state that struggles. West Virginia's not a wealthy state.
Right.
A lot of hardworking people that need a helping hand.
Do you say, Senator, I've got the kitchen sink here. I'm willing to give it to you?
Well, Joe's a man who wants to bargain and compromise, and that's not unreasonable. In the world that I live in, that's part of every day. I found him to be a reasonable fellow in most instances, and I hope he will be again.
Well, he certainly is a guy who stands to his principle. It's interesting to watch from here in Chicago. Okay, so I've been pulling my hair out over the stepped-up basis because it seems to make sense to me, but there's a big wall fighting it. But the real legitimate thing I'd like to talk to you about are farmers. Farmers call quickly, and they say, look, we'd lose the family farm if we don't keep this stepped-up basis. What do you tell farmers?
Well, it's a very realistic thing. It reflects the fact that the price of farm acreage has gone up dramatically. I mean, I can tell you some downstaters I know who started off as just basic farmers, and now they're multi-millionaires because of the value of the land today. And if they want to keep it in the family and pass along to their heirs, they need a helping hand. The estate tax, we created exemptions, as we should, and I want to give them a fighting chance to keep that farm in the family. So we've got to deal with the tax laws and how they're going to affect these farmers.
So the farmers, maybe they would pay that tax when the heirs end up selling the land or something like that, but not upon receipt of the land.
Well, Steve, I've been around long enough to know that the heirs will be coming to us with a similar story.
Right.
But I will tell you, I want to be fair about it. I know they put their lives into these farms. They've worked them in ways that are remarkable, and I don't want to ever take that for granted. We got to make sure that when we're talking about people who have really reached a high level of wealth, that they do give back something to this great country that gave them the chance.
What are the chances, or what do you expect when it comes to the minimum 15% tax on corporations? You know, the chambers of commerce and others say they are the job creators. We shouldn't be overtaxing them.
You know what Janet Yellen is doing, the Secretary of Treasury, is remarkable. She's gone around the world and said, you know, we can't be fighting with one another. We ought to agree on some basics, like a minimum tax on corporations. She's got over 100 nations ready to sign up already. And that's a move in the right direction. It discourages those inversions. Remember, it wasn't that long ago when one of the major companies in Chicago was talking about moving their headquarters to Europe to reduce their tax burden? You know, that kind of stuff is not to be encouraged. And when Janet Yellen does this on a basis of coming to an agreement, it's moving in the right direction. Keep the jobs here. Keep the companies here.
Two federal agents and a Chicago police officer was shot today during an undercover operation. You're the chair of the Judiciary Committee. I know you put out a letter to Governor Pritzker not too long ago. What can you, as the chair of the committee, do to help us here with the violence?
Steve, racked my brain. 104, 108, what was the number on the weekend?
Yeah, 108.
19 dead. Those numbers, and they're horrifying. I said to the mayor, talked to the police officials.
Senator, I lost you again. You said you talked to the mayor and police officials?
I've done that, and I'm telling you, the families have a responsibility, too. We've got to make sure that people are doing the right thing by way of their children, setting down some common sense rules to keep kids off the streets.
All right, I know you're busy. I don't want to keep you, but one other thing. How are we doing on DACA? I saw some friction between you and the Biden administration in the slow pace of approval for DACA applications. Any progress there?
There is good news. Two Republican senators just yesterday sent me a letter saying we're prepared to vote for DACA today, but they want to limit it to the number that was frozen during the Trump administration.
Right.
I want to make sure those who are eligible have a chance to sign up. I think that's only fair. The Supreme Court ruled the same way I'm thinking, so it isn't a radical idea. I think we can get something done, and we should. These are wonderful young people who will make America a better nation.
So that Cornyn letter wasn't a cap that would sink things? You thought that was an encouraging sign?
Well, it was a move in the right direction. I've got to tell you, quite honestly, the two senators who signed it have never voted for an immigration bill in the time they've been in the Senate. I've been talking to them for weeks and weeks, and the fact that they're publicly moving in that direction, I think, is a good sign.
Senator Dick Durbin, the senior senator from the state of Illinois, thanks very much for joining us today. I do appreciate it.
I do, too. Thanks, Steve.
You're listening to the Afternoon News. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up.